This weekend we're celebrating the Buddha's enlightenment. We have the festival tomorrow. One of the ways that one can talk about the Buddha's enlightenment, the experience of the Buddha's enlightenment, is a really deep seeing into the nature of things, the nature of existence, the nature of how things are right now. And I think it's important to notice in that it's an understanding, it's a seeing into what is already here, what is already present right at this moment. Because the nature of things as they are is always here right now. Our existence right now is here. How could the true nature of what that is not be here right now? And this approach really is fundamental to our whole approach to spiritual training, our whole approach to practice. That the experience of the Buddha's enlightenment, the experience of our own understanding, is an exploration of what is already here. It's not a getting something from the outside. It's not gaining something that which was missing. we have the teaching that all beings have Buddha nature, and that's really pointing to the same thing, that from the beginning it is Buddha. It's just for us to look and see, well, what actually is that? But fundamentally, there isn't anything inadequate, missing, unworthy that we need to fix. And of course, this is Dogen's view as well. For those who aren't familiar with Dogen, Great Master Dogen is one of the most important teachers in our tradition, really. He lived in Japan in the early 13th century. And later on today, when we have evening service, we recite rules for meditation. And right at the beginning of that, he's stressing that training and enlightenment aren't two different things. And that is really getting at just that point. That it's not that we train and train and train and train, and that sometime in the future there is enlightenment. What he's pointing out is that our very training here and now, our practice here and now, is a manifestation of the inherent enlightenment that's already here. And this is really a fundamentally different approach to things. It changes things around so much. And, of course, this approach is there in his view of what the precepts are and how we train in the precepts. And in the Shoshogi, which is one of his works, is a collection of different bits of teaching from throughout his great work, the Shobogenzo, that was put together in the late 19th century in Japan. And we recited at Jukai during the precepts retreat. And I'd just like to read really one sentence which, for me, encapsulates that. It's towards the end of the section, which is called Receiving the Precepts, where he says, "The Buddha has clearly pointed out to all living beings that whenever these precepts are truly accepted, Buddhahood is reached." And this is really, on first reading it, it might not be clear just quite what a re-evaluation of the place of the precepts this is compared with how we might view the precepts. A linear view of training in the precepts is that we accept the precepts and we train with the precepts, and through a process that may go on for years or even lifetimes, sometime in the future, Buddhahood is reached. And in that, one of the words that's used to describe the precepts is the pratimoksha, the the practices that lead to liberation, that there is practice and that eventually they lead to liberation. And Dogen really doesn't hold with that at all. So what he's saying here is that when the precepts are accepted, Buddhahood is reached. And that may seem a subtle difference in wording from the practices that lead to liberation. But what he's saying is in the very accepting of the precepts, in the giving rise to the mind that wants to train, wants to engage with this, wants to be the precepts, wants to live the precepts, already then Buddhahood is reached. It's not that it's something that we come to through a gradual process of purifying and working on, that already Buddhahood is here. Now in that he's not trying to deny, I think, that there is this path aspect, this linear aspect, and we can all see in our own experience that there is a gradual transformation, there is change that comes about through doing the practice. And you know, if I think back 6 months or 6 years and think about how I would have responded to situations that come up today, I can see, well, yes, I would have responded rather differently, and I can see that there's a change there. But the fundamental difference is that this practice then, this transformation is within the context of it already being Buddha. It's not that we have to undertake this transformation in order to somehow become worthy or for it somehow to be enough in order to allow ourselves to, or be allowed to be Buddha eventually. I think the linear view of it, the problem with only having that is that, well, first of all, how much purification, how much working on this does there have to be in order to reach this? When will it actually be enough? How will I know that it's enough? When is it enough that I am allowed to be Buddha, or perhaps I allow myself to be Buddha? Where in the future is that? And if we're always focusing on this time in the future when it's going to be like that, well, we really miss the jewel of what is actually here right at the moment, because we're focused on something that we think isn't here rather than actually looking at what really is here. And if we have the view that all the way up until that point it's always not quite there, it's always incomplete, it's always unworthy, well, right now is here we train, right now is our existence and our life. And if we're always having the view that, well, it's not quite enough, then really we're really undercutting the firm basis of our own practice and of our own peace of mind and of our own understanding. So Dogen's view there, that radical reinterpretation, is that no, it is already Buddha, it is already here. And within that, yes, there is the unfolding, the going into, the understanding more and more deeply what that Buddhahood actually is that is already here. It's already here, but we need to accept that it is here and need to accept it. But this way of approaching things can seem quite strange when we first come to practice, or even when we first come across that as we go through the practice, because we often come with the view that, well, actually, there is something here that I need to work on. Often, maybe that's what's brought us to practice, the feeling that, well, actually, yes, I can see that in myself there are things I go about, things that actually aren't that skillful, which are causing suffering for myself and others. There's something that needs to be worked on here. So the idea that actually it's already Buddha and that all we need to do is accept that someone's offering us, we don't have to prove ourselves worthy, it's just offered and all we have to do is accept it. Well, that itself seems quite a hard thing to accept. That seems really a tall order. But actually, it's even more fundamental than that. It's not that we're being accepted. It's not that we're being offered it without having to prove ourselves. It's that it actually is already there. We're not being offered it from outside. It's not nothing that we ever lacked. It's just to accept that it actually already is there and already was there. And, well, what does that mean, actually? How do we accept that? And what is it we're accepting? What is this Buddhahood that we're accepting? And really, our way into that, of course, is the practice of Zazen. But when we sit down to meditate, you may sit down, I may sit down, and think, okay, I'm willing to accept Buddhahood. But of course, what we see is the thoughts, the feelings that are in our mind, the fear, the desire, the worry, the anxiety. And, well, we can so easily think, well, where is Buddha then? Where is Buddhahood in this experience of all this stuff here? But if all this, all these thoughts and feelings that are here, if they're not part of what we call Buddhahood, then there's always a split. We're creating a split in our mind that there are some things within me that aren't acceptable, can't be part of Buddha, can they? And the accepting of Buddhahood is really the fundamental accepting of who we are right at the moment, right at this moment. The complete accepting of our existence as it is right now. And that has to include all the fears, the desires, the worries, the anxieties, all the rest of it. Accepting that right now. To accept that doesn't mean to deny that if we act on these things, we cause suffering for ourselves. Yes, of course, that is true. To accept them doesn't mean it's okay to act on them. But acting on them is something else. That's, you know, a thought, a feeling arises, and we allow ourselves to be driven by that, or we act on that. The acceptance is really just seeing that actually that is what is there at the moment. And if that is what is there at the moment, well, that is the reality of our existence. And so we can either choose not to accept that and pretend it's not there or wish it's not there, or just to accept that it is there. And really it's only through being willing to see that it is there that any transformation is really possible. Because if we're not allowing ourselves even to see it, well, whatever it might be, if it is there, then being driven by it, it still has an effect on us. The wheel of suffering still rolls on, even though it doesn't stop just because we don't see it or don't allow ourselves to see it. I think the insight of meditation makes us more sensitive to the ways in which we cause suffering for ourselves, principally for ourselves. We cause suffering for others as well. And really that ability to notice the effect of what we do is really crucial. That's a real gift. And it can feel really quite uncomfortable when we start to begin to notice that some of the ways that we've been going about things for years, actually they're not all that skillful sometimes. And we just begin to get a bit of a niggle. And we've maybe, you know, this is just how we've been for the last, as long as we can remember. And we've never really noticed before. But I think there's just through being willing to sit and see what is there, it starts to kind of just kind of worry away at us, that we think, well, we just notice that there's something there that actually isn't that helpful. And it's that first noticing which is the crucial thing, because until we get to that point, it's still there and it's still having an effect on us, but we're unable to do anything about it, we're unable to work with it because we just don't see it. But once we see it, if we carry on sitting with that, well, it's just going to keep on niggling away at us. And really all we have to do, what we do in the practice, is just allow that to be there, just accept that that is how it is. Accepting that how it is doesn't mean resigning ourselves to the fact that it's always going to be like that. Resignation is actually, we can often think, well, that's what acceptance means. It means having to put up with things as they are. But resignation is actually not really acceptance. Because in resignation, we're saying, okay, I'm willing to put up with it, kind of thing. Okay, I'll kind of accept it, but actually I'd rather it wasn't like it is. That's the bit of resignation which makes it not acceptance. It's the, but I'd rather it not wasn't like it actually is. And in wishing that it was different to how it is, however subtle that might be, in wanting it to be other than that, than what it is, we're not actually fully accepting how it is right now. There's not the willingness just to be with it. There's a wanting to make it something else, wanting it to be something else. And acceptance isn't about what it's going to be in the future. It's simply about what is there right now. And if that is there right now, then, well, like I said before, we can either accept that that's how it is, notice that that's how it is, or we can try and avoid it, try and pretend that it's not there. Sometimes in wishing that it wasn't there, we try and think ourselves down the road of a few days, hours, years, whatever, to the point where it isn't there anymore. We try and behave, we try and live our lives as though it isn't there anymore. And it's kind of like, you know, trying to be a better person or always trying to be on your best behaviour. It works for a while, but sooner or later something comes along that just kind of trips you up, because actually the fundamental thing that is there hasn't actually been addressed, hasn't actually been looked at and dealt with. And the only way that we address that is just by being willing to be with it here, right now, and actually to feel the suffering of it. This little thing that we've noticed, and it often is quite a small thing that is causing us this suffering. Just being willing to feel the suffering that is entailed in that, and not trying to make it be something else, just being willing to be with that, that's really how we, in a way, we it's a willingness to offer ourselves to the process. We can't actually fix it. I don't know how to fix it, actually. All I know is how to be willing to, just sit with it and notice it and allow it to be there. And there's something in just that allowing it to be there that leads to a transformation. Just being willing to see it, the seeing of it leads us on, because the more we see the suffering that's inherent in it, well, we naturally don't want to suffer. We don't want to feel this uneasiness through what we're doing, this disconnection with the people around us, perhaps, but just because of the way we're interacting with them. We really don't want that, and because we know we don't want that, in a way that leads to the transformation. It leads to us wanting to do things differently, and that wanting is at a deeper level than us just trying to be a different person. It's really seeing more and more clearly what's actually going on there. And the more we make that link between what we're doing and the effect that has, the more clearly we see and the more we know we don't want to do it. I find for myself that there's realizing I don't want to do it, and then, well, but I seem to keep doing it, and I seem to keep getting caught by it, even though I know I don't want to do it. And I think that's really just pointing to the fact that, well, it needs to be seen on a more deep and on a deeper level. And well, so we go on sitting with it, and we go on allowing that the awareness of that to be there. And and yes, there's coming to a more clear sense of what's actually going on there. And all along we can get to a point where, get to different points where we think, okay, right, now I've really seen it, now I'm not going to get caught by it again. And then, well, there's a bit of complacency in that, actually, and so unsurprisingly something comes along and well, we get caught by it again. And again, it's just showing that, well, we just need to carry on sitting with it, and we just need to, you know, see it a bit more clearly. And it's, I think eventually we kind of come to a point where we've just seen it so many times, we've been around this so many times, and we're really so totally, completely and utterly fed up with it. And we see it really now clearly enough that actually we're really not able to carry on doing it with it, because it just hurts so much. You feel so directly the pain that's involved in it, and the suffering that's involved in it. But it's interesting that it kind of seems to be that I don't really notice when I get to that point. I just realise after a while that, oh, actually, yes. Yes, I don't seem to have been doing that for a while. Yeah, and that's kind of an indication that, yes, there's something there which is really connected with what's going on there. And, yes, you have to be careful then. You don't think, oh, well, now I really have. Because, of course, then you... So I think there's always the openness to... well, the awareness that we can actually, we're human, we can still do this, and we can still get caught by this. But there's a seeing it at a really a quite a different level to the noticing that we started out with. But it all comes about through that first noticing, that first awareness of what's there. And I think with all of the thoughts, feelings, emotions that we notice within ourselves, if ever there's an unwillingness to allow that to be there, then we're not really accepting Buddhahood. We're saying that there is part of us that isn't worthy of being within that circle, within Buddha. And so I think that just that, the willingness to sit in acceptance and the willingness to just totally give ourselves to this process, I think that's really seems to be a fundamental part of our practice. So I think I'm going to leave it there. So we've got a chance, we've only got a quarter of an hour or so before we have to stop for evening service. But if anyone's got any questions, do please go ahead.